You're listening to All Things Considered on North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. I'm Jeff Tabiri. Here for our regular review of the week in state politics is Rob Schofield from the Progressive North Carolina Justice Center and Becky Gray from the conservative John Locke Foundation. Hi there.
Hey there.
Great to be back.
Governor Roy Cooper vetoed House Bill 511 this week. That's a proposal to allow restaurants and bars to host game nights. This bill seeks to legalize casino-style games, raffles, and other games that have prizes during events where alcohol is served. Cooper said this bill could have reopened the door for video poker, which is something he has worked against in recent years. Rob, why should we care about this?
Well, you know, the issue of predatory gambling that has been advanced by corporate interests in our state and less successfully in our state, but around the country for years, is a big concern. It's an issue where actually I think maybe the right and left should come together. I think Governor Cooper raises some very valid concerns about this. Video poker, we know, was a pernicious problem in our state. And so the idea of this bill was not popular at the General Assembly. It had lots of debate, lots of no votes, lots of amendments. Didn't feel as if it was really fully cooked when it was done. So from my perspective, it seems like an eminently logical thing to do, and one time where he's sort of reaching out to Christian conservatives and other opponents of gambling.
Becky, to that point, interestingly enough, the Democratic governor is aligned or has aligned himself with the religious right on this one. Can he finally sustain a veto? For context, he's 0-5 with one pending.
I don't think that's really the point here. Yes, it was the position that the Christian right took on this, was concerned with gambling. But he also has sided with law enforcement. And I think that's the important thing. In his veto message, he talked about the difficulty and the gray lines, as Robert Lee has alluded to, between legalized gambling, video poker machines. How do you regulate that? That has been a challenge for years, and a concern with law enforcement. Make the law clear enough and give us the resources so we can enforce it. And I think that, you know, to Rob's point, there were a lot of questions about this bill. The religious Christian right certainly weighed in on this, but there were also concerns from law enforcement. There were lots of concerns about this. This is one that I think I agree with Rob. I think this maybe wasn't fully baked when it went over, and maybe this just needs a little bit more vetting. And for me, I will side with the law enforcement community on this, and if they're not comfortable with it, then I think maybe we need to pull it back and just make sure there aren't unintended consequences, that we're not opening avenues to things that we don't want to happen in North Carolina.
Moving on, the nonpartisan fiscal research staff said this week that the state is going to have a budget shortfall of more than $1 billion, that's in revenue, beginning in 2020. Listeners will remember that there is a tax cut of about $530 some odd million coming in 2019. Becky, significant?
Well, it's kind of interesting, more than significant. First of all, I think that this study is interesting, and I think that we need to use it as a tool for budgeting moving forward. The fiscal research staff did exactly what they were asked to do by the Democratic caucus, and that was to tabulate if spending, if every single program is continued at exactly the same rate with built-in advances with it, I think they used a 4 or 5% growth, that this is what it would look like. That scenario is unrealistic under the current leadership. They have reined in the growth of government. They have prioritized spending. They have cut back on a lot of things. They're not going to allow government to grow 20% over the next 3 or 4 years. I mean, it just isn't going to happen. Now, I do think, though, and I have great respect for the fiscal research staff at the General Assembly, I think that the numbers that they did, the way that they looked at this report should be used as what not to do in budgeting moving forward, and that's just allowing things to grow at 4 or 5%, not prioritizing, assuming that everything in government today is exactly the way that it should be.
Is this just a difference in philosophy?
Well, first of all, I think the nonpartisan fiscal research folks did a good job. They provided yet another warning sign that North Carolina is headed down a dangerous road. We are continuing to underinvest in essential structures and services, and what's going to happen as we continue to slash taxes is that essential programs are going to have to be cut. That's just sort of what it boils down to. That's where the money is in governments, and it's in education, it's in healthcare, and if we don't bring in the revenue to fund those essential programs, they're going to be cut. And we've already seen how, because we've been doing that for the last several years, how our essential structures and services are suffering. We're doing things on the cheap. We're holding our schools together with duct tape and baling wire, and the classrooms are molding over the summer because they can't turn on the air conditioning, and roads and bridges are crumbling. We're going to see more and more of that as years go by. It's the only thing that was most interesting to me about this was that the Democrats actually asked for this long before the budget was passed.
That's
it was
right.
Sort of ironic that it didn't come out until after the legislature went home. Take the fiscal research folks at their word that there were no political considerations in that, but it was a little interesting.
The issue issue of public financing and sports emerged in Charlotte this week. Broadly speaking, I don't want to talk necessarily about Charlotte and the pursuit or the dance with Major League Soccer, but kind of to get you on the record, because we haven't chatted about this before, public money and private sports entities. How do you feel about that?
No, 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 absolutely not.
Well, I think that in general, I probably am very skeptical of it. I do think there is a way it can be done in a way in which it benefits a community. There are clearly communities in our state and throughout the country that through public investment in sports facilities have built stronger, more vibrant communities, that have attracted more business, that have made those communities the kind of places that people want to live. It's a very complicated stuff. The idea of giving lots of public money to billionaires, however, to build stadiums, something needs to be thought through very carefully.
I would just go back to, you know, what is the core function of government and what are essential services? And I do not believe that sports facilities are a core function of government. There is a lot of money to be made in these professional sports, semi-professional sports. Entrepreneurs ought to spend their money that way if they want to. The situation that you mentioned in Charlotte, if the Smiths want to build a soccer stadium and draw a MLS team to Charlotte and make money and build hotels and restaurants and all, I think they ought to do it. I think they absolutely ought to do it. I just don't think taxpayers should be compelled to spend their money that way.
In the final moment or two, it seems like every time I open social media this week, there's a new tweet, there's a new article, there's a new update about the brunch bill, which, as a reminder, the brunch bill changes a lot of different regulations surrounding alcohol in this state, but the most notable provision has been making that time you can get a mimosa or Bloody Mary or something else on Sunday, makes it earlier, 10 a.m. now instead of noon. Is this getting disproportionately too much attention?
I sort of feel like it is. I understand why. It's something people can wrap their arms around, and it's very tangible. So I guess I understand it in that respect, that it gets a lot of attention. But when we're dealing with sort of the fundamental future of our state and all the pressing issues that we could be spending time on, I worry that we get a little distracted by issues like this.
You know, is it the headiest issue that the General Assembly dealt with this session? Certainly not. But, you know, it is very important to communities. And when you talk about restaurants, there are a lot of restaurants across North Carolina that have not opened until noon and sacrificed that 2 hours of bartenders making money, wait staff making money, restaurants making money, visitors. We're right in the middle of tourist season here in North Carolina. And so, yeah, it's a news story. It's not the most important news story, but to be honest with you, and I think everybody would agree with this, you know, with some of the stuff that we're dealing with in Washington, some of the other things with the heavy budget numbers and a lot of the really heavy news things that we're dealing with, I think it's kind of a refreshing change.
Becky Gray is with the Conservative John Locke Foundation. Rob Schofield is from NC Policy Watch. Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you. Jeff.